Senate Committee on Human Services and Early Childhood will come to order. It is, what is today, May 14th?
All day long.
Thank you all for coming today. We're going to go a little bit out of order. We're going to take our work sessions first and then pop back up to the top. A couple of announcements. I'll wait till Cheyenne is here to make sure I do it the right way. So we are going to carry over the work sessions for House Bill 2889 and the work session for House Bill 2890 until next Tuesday. They aren't quite ready to go. And also, we are still awaiting an amendment on House Bill 3222A, which was scheduled for public hearing and possible work session. So we are also carrying that over to Tuesday because that is not ready to be heard today. So with that, I'm going to open up a work session on House... Oh, okay. I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 2219A.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2219A directs the Department of Human Services to convene a work group to examine consolidating applications for services and requires a report to the legislature by September 15th, 2016. This previously heard on the 5th of March, no revenue impact, minimal fiscal, so no statement issued. The AE2 amendment was under discussion at the last meeting, adding the Department of Transportation to the work group. The fiscal and revenue applies to the underlying bill as well as the dash A2 amendment.
Great, thank you. And colleagues, we had that conversation about transportation last week. We have gotten Mr. Vollmert in touch with the Department of Transportation and Representative Nathanson, so we're going to move the bill without amendment.
I think that's appropriate. They can be called in anytime they want to.
Yeah. It's good for me. I like it.
Do you like it? It makes for an easy motion for
sure
you.
Sure does. Chair Gelser, I move House Bill 2219A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves House Bill 2219A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And Senator Dembrough is excused.
I will carry, if you don't mind.
That would be great.
As long as there's no questions.
And then you can just send them to me again.
That's right, I will.
I use that lifeline. and if you wouldn't mind in your hearing it mentioning that we talked about transportation, that would be
That
would be great. All right, I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 2414.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2414 allows the Department of Human Services to add genetic siblings of adoptees to their voluntary adoption search registry, defines the rules for addition of the search for minor siblings on the registry, and allows sharing of certain types of information electronically. We also heard this on the 5th of May. No revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and no amendment.
Thank you. And it also allows minors to add their names to the registry with the permission of their parents before they turn 18. I think this is a fantastic bill. I have someone in my house that is lobbying quite heavily for it that plans to sit with me on the floor.
Madam Chair, I will vote for it under the condition that you carry it.
I plan to carry it. I would very much like to carry it. So, Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2414 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson moves House Bill 2414 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, it heads to the floor, and I'll be the carrier of that one.
Madam Chair,
Madam Chair,
we go any further, could we suspend the rules?
I was just going to make that motion.
Okay.
Absolutely. Let me close the work session on House Bill 2414 and Senator Cruz.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of allowing Senator Dembrough to vote on House Bill 2219A.
Senator Cruz moves the rules be suspended and that Senator Dembrough be allowed to vote on House Bill 2219A. Is there any objection?
Is there any discussion?
Is there any discussion? Your objection is that I did not ask for discussion. Okay. Anybody want to talk?
No.
Now is there any objection?
No.
Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Dembrough, how do you vote?
Aye.
Please record Senator Dembrough as an aye on House Bill 2219A, and I will once again close the work session on House Bill 2219A and open up a work session on House Bill 2195A.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2195A was heard on the 7th of May. No revenue impact, no fiscal impact. I'm going to go straight to the summary of the dash A5 amendment that requires Multnomah County only after reimbursements are made to the County General Fund for costs to use proceeds acquired specifically from foreclosure or delinquent tax liens for housing placement and supportive youth and families with children, rental assistance, and low-income housing. And then credit goes to the general fund for any proceeds in excess of that.
Thank you. And to clarify, these amendments make it Multnomah County only, and because it's Multnomah County only, that means it does not include Linn County, because Linn County is not Multnomah County. I know that's hard to believe, but there are differences between Linn County and Multnomah County.
Madam Chair, there are people in Multnomah County think that they are the state of Oregon, so.
All right. Senator Olson.
Chair Gelser, I move to adopt the Dash A5 amendment dated 5/13/2015.
Senator Olson moves to adopt the Dash A5 amendments dated 5/13/2015. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Chair Gelser, I move House Bill 2195A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson moves House Bill 2195A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. The motion passes. It goes to the floor. And Senator Dimbro, since you're from Multnomah County, how would you feel about carrying this bill?
I am both from Multnomah County and from Oregon, Madam Chair. and I will be pleased to carry this bill.
Thank you very much. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2195A, and I'm going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 3292.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3292 directs the Oregon Health Authority to adopt the rules identifying activities landlords may contractually delegate to renters of tourist facilities, relieves landlord of liability for failure of tenant to meet terms of the contract. There's no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact, and it came off the floor and out of the House committee, both unanimously.
Thank you very much. Representative Springer, and do you want Dave and Dennis to come up with you?
Sounds like a radio talk show.
I am here to entertain. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sherry Springer, State Representative from House District 17. And I bring you a nice little bill this afternoon. So to give you just a little bit of background on how this works, what the bill really represents, and then the two experts here on my right will tell you exactly how it works and why they need it. Dave came to me quite a while back, and there was an issue as far as organizational camps, church camps, different organizational camps have different purposes. And I'll use Camp Tadmore in my district as an example. And it has to do with the liability. And this is a group of folks that are not trying to come out from underneath any liability. They just need it defined and the rules defined. And so I'll use the example of my son. He goes to church camp sometimes at Camp Tadmore, and the pastor, the youth pastor, comes up and says, "Can your kid go to church camp?" And sign the form. Is he allergic to bee stings? That kind of thing. Does he have any medicine? And so I fill out that form, and I tell the pastor all the details of that. And the pastor, I hope, sticks those in a file, takes them with him, and they go to camp, and they do the business of the camp. I've been to Tadmore a ton of times. Dave lives at Tadmore, and not because he's sitting in his recliner doing nothing. It's a huge place. I have never seen him when I was at Camp Tadmore. Never seen him because he's off doing his stuff and we do our camp and the two shall not meet. Well, what is not clear, what has been a problem in the past, let me back up. So another scenario is a camp occurs and you sign up, you say, "Oh, Camp Tadmore is hosting a camp to do X. I want my child to go to that." So I get a form from Camp Tadmore, and I say, "Yeah, I want my kid to do this. They're allergic to bee stings, yes or no. Here's the medicines." And a representative of Camp Tadmore says, "Thank you for your form," files it, has all that information, is responsible for that information. It's been unclear and very confusing in the past. So when we are up at a camp, we rent a facility, oftentimes our church does. And we go up there and we say, "We need your kitchen, your bathrooms, and X amount of cabins for people." And we'll bring our own food. I peeled 70 pounds of potatoes one weekend at one of those camps. We will take care of our own stuff. We'll check the temperature of the meat and make sure that it's good. We will take care of bee stings. We will take care of all these things. Well, That's not been clear, and it's been very difficult for camps to organize it because they've had some liability on those things that they don't have information on. They can't be held liable for that. So I think with that, I'm going to let these two gentlemen explain with a little bit more detail. I will tell you that this bill came up at the 11th hour in the 14th session, I believe it was. And somebody else had worked on the language, and I said, sure, I'll help you. And the language wasn't quite right, and frankly, the bill caused a lot of excitement and turmoil and died quickly. So we went back to the drawing board. Representative Williamson, you'll see, is the chief sponsor on this. Bar Association, the attorneys didn't really like it because it erased basically all liability, and that wasn't the intent of that language. Worked with her office on this, and obviously you can tell from the unanimous passage out of committee and off the House floor, we got to a good place. So with that, I encourage your support, and I'll kick it off to Dave and Dennis.
Thank you very much.
I'm Dave Burtz, and I'm the Director of Operations at Camp Tadmore outside of Lebanon, Oregon. And Madam Chairman and Committee, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today about our bill. As Representative Springer said, we have worked for a long time with the Oregon Health Authority to try and write administrative rules that would allow us to be responsible for those programs that we run at camp. So all summer long, we do about 12 weeks of typical summer camp programming that we're responsible for everything, the food, the program, the safety, health care, all of that for the campers that are there. Most of the rest of the year, we rent our facility to other groups, churches, civic groups, a lot of outdoor education programs with both public and private schools. And the way the rules are written now, our license as an organizational camp under the tourist facility category with the health authority is at risk for anything that one of those rental groups do. Even if we have a contract with them, if they don't follow one piece of the rule and causes a problem, it's our license that is at risk. And so trying to work with the health authority to craft rules that would allow us to bring some separation between when we're running our program and when a group is renting from us became impossible. And it was because of the statute language that was in place. So the statute the bill we're putting in front of you revises that, allows us to have clear rules for when we're running our own programming, and then clear rules when a group is renting our facility. If that same school district went to a college campus, a public park, a hotel, and did their program, there wouldn't be a question. Those facilities would not be held responsible for anything that other organization did. So we're in a unique position of being liable for the actions of others, even when they're under contract with our facility. So we appreciate your support and your willingness to take a look at that and help us in this way.
Thank you.
My name is Dennis Littlefield, and I'm the executive director at Camp Tillicum, Newburgh, Oregon. So very similar type of operation to Camp Tadmore. Same dynamics and issues going on at our place. We run a full summer of programming, but we do a lot of guest rentals, so the same dynamics are there. And one of the extra things I just want to emphasize is that for probably the last 10 years, we've been dealing with this strange dynamic when the health department official comes out to the camp to do the annual inspection or biannual inspection. What's written in the rules is confusing because, say, it's a weekend retreat and it's a youth group that's there, and they say, well, here in the rules it says you're supposed to have a nurse. Where's the nurse? It's like, well, it doesn't apply in this situation because of the kind of program that's being run and so on. So it creates a lot of confusion, especially for the first-time health department official hasn't been there a lot, and or somebody who's been there a long time, because it's just not clear. And so by doing this, it'll dramatically improve the ability for both the camps and the health department to do a better job.
Great. Thank you all very much. Are there any questions for this panel?
Just a quick question.
Senator Montes Anderson.
Just to clarify, I'm a nurse. I with my church, have gone with my group, and it was for a weekend, and I was, no, for the week, and I was the camp nurse for the kids. So they had their own contract. They had a contract with you, and I'm still confused then. Who has the liability in that situation?
It's on the renter.
It's on the renter. Yeah. Okay.
So by contract, they would have, you know, the contract that we would have with them would specify those things that are in rule that they would need to take care of. But what the difference is, then that rental group is responsible to find you to be their nurse and to make sure that you're following those standards. The license for our facility is not at risk if they don't have a nurse.
Okay. So if, say, something that I didn't give appropriate care, that wouldn't fall on the camp?
Now it would. With this revision, it would not. It would fall on the church group and on their within their insurance and their liability.
Thank you. Great. Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you all very much. Really appreciate it. It's really nice to see you, Representative.
Nice seeing you. Thank you.
Are people comfortable with working this?
Oh, absolutely.
Today? Great. So let's close the public hearing on House Bill 3292 and open up a work session on House Bill 3292. Vice Chair Olson.
Chair Gilster, I move House Bill 3292A to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves House Bill 3292A to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Cruz, we haven't assigned you to a bill yet.
Okay.
Today? You doing?
Sure.
Thank you. And so we're going to close the work session on House Bill 3292 and open up a public hearing on House Bill 2413A. And while Cheyenne is giving the summary, we'll invite Jim Carlson on up.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2413A prohibits the Department of Human Services from granting a license to residential care facility as defined, absent a market study on the need for services in the area. It declares emergency as effective on passage. No revenue impact and no fiscal impact. Came off of the floor 51-9 and out of House Committee 7-2.
Thank you very much. Jim.
Yes, thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Jim Carlson, President of the Oregon Healthcare Association. This is a pretty straightforward bill. It clarifies existing state law and longstanding policy dealing with the granting of new licenses for residential care facilities and assisted living facilities. We had a moratorium on new licenses on these kinds of facilities that went into effect in the late 90s. And when that moratorium was coming off and was being changed in 2008, in the program change bill, we put some provisions in that all new potential licensees would have to meet prior to being granted a license by the state. One of those provisions is that they would submit a market study. The intent of the market study being submitted was basically on kind of a pre-licensure review process to make sure if there were multiple competing projects in a service area that the potential licensee or developer would be aware of other projects that were in the pipeline potentially in that area so that it was an eyes wide open situation. You would not end up with facilities that people had committed a lot of time and money to on land and pre-development only to discover there was another project in the market and there was not sufficient demand in the market for two projects or three projects or four projects. So we clarified this in 2008. And for a number of years, it went forward and there were no problems. It was never intended that the market study be used as a de facto certificate of need-like process. Well, since 2008, we'd seen a lot of personnel changes at the agency. We'd lost some institutional knowledge, and there was a fairly narrow legal interpretation taken by DHS's attorney, and they used this market study provision to deny a license not long ago in Central Oregon for a community where there is not an existing facility at all serving that community because several years prior, another potential developer had submitted a potential project. And so DHS, in a very narrow interpretation of this, said, no, we're going to deny this project, even though it was a community completely underserved. We engaged in a lot of discussions with the agency, and our attorneys had a different legal interpretation. Theirs did. Long story short, DHS is fine with clarifying this provision in statute. Nobody has any objections to that. They feel bound by a narrow legal interpretation. And so this will basically just try to bring the law in conformance with what we thought the intent was and the longstanding policy was in this area. So I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Great. Thank you very much. And just for the record, I saw DHS nodding in the back. Are there any questions for Mr. Carlson?
Straightforward.
Very good.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much. Is everybody okay working this one today? Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to close the public hearing on... We're being very efficient. We are 25 minutes in.
Except we don't have a 2413 in here.
Madam Chair, you carried some things over. That's why.
We can handle it.
All right. We can handle it. Okay. I'm closing the public hearing on House Bill 2413A and opening a work session on House Bill 2413A. You can use another script and just...
Chair Gelser, I... Cut it out. Chair Gelser, I move House Bill 2413A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson moves House Bill 2413A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. I'll carry this one. And I'll close the work session on House Bill 2413 and open up a public hearing on House Bill 3143A.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3143A directs the Department of Consumer and Business Services to develop model sign for victims of human trafficking. It requires the sign be available on DCVS website, directs DCVS and Department of Human Services to create sticker consistent with the sign, directs the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to include materials in outlet license renewal packets, declares an emergency as effective on passage, sets an operative date 60 days after passage, and sunsets January 2nd, 2018. There's no revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact. This came off of the House floor and out of House committee unanimously.
Thank you very much. We've got Kelsey Ferry from Representative Witsit's office and Talia God from Senator Steiner Hayward's office. Welcome to you both.
Hi. So, good afternoon, Chair Gelser and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Kelsey Ferry from Representative Hildreth Witsit's office. So we have House Bill 3143, and what this bill does is it allows our office to partner with a nonprofit organization to distribute stickers to the OLCC for sex trafficking awareness. This program actually was in the 2010 special session, and we are just bringing it back. We've redesigned the stickers. We're going to partner with In Our Backyard and Nita Bells. And the stickers in the 2010 session had a lot of words on them. These ones are going to have pictures and women who have been sex trafficked actually identify, like, very quickly. It has an arm with a barcode on it, and a lot of the women actually do get barcoded by their pimps, and so they immediately know what that sticker's for. Also, these stickers go specifically in the bathroom stalls. A lot of the time, it's the only time these women are left alone, and we've also heard from victims that if they take a piece of paper or a card or something, and they're strip searched and that's found, it does not end very well for them. So we have already partnered with In Our Backyard. We talked to many different groups around the state who are very excited for this program. We have to get volunteers, and we've already lined up a bunch of them to stuff the envelopes. So OLCC, it has zero cost to them and zero work for them. It's all volunteer. And we've already secured the funding through In Our Backyard for the redesign of the stickers. So we're very excited about the program and it moving forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Gelser, Vice Chair Olson, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Talia Gad, and I'm a policy intern with Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward, who is a co-chief sponsor of this bill. I'm also a little bit nervous.
You're doing great.
Please forgive if I bumble in advance. Thank you. I also come with some experience in the field. I used to work in Beaverton serving the Portland metro area and Multnomah and Washington counties, providing direct services to children who are identified as being sexually exploited. So I'm really honored to be able to testify on behalf of this bill. The quick glimpse of the problem is that human trafficking is currently the third largest and fastest growing criminal industry in the world. According to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, approximately one in six runaway kids is likely to be sex trafficked at this time, and that estimate is considered low. According to a recent study through Portland State University in Multnomah County alone, during a five-year period, 469 girls or victims were identified during that five-year period. I say girls because 95% of the children identified were girls. And to give you a sense of how low that number is, during that same five-year period, according to the Multnomah County Sheriff's Department or office, they identified approximately 421 suspected traffickers during the same period. And because we know that most pimps keep more than one child in their stable, as they refer to them, we know that that number is low. The average age of children referred to support services during that period was 15 and a half, and the youngest was 8. And that was just the point at which they were identified. So the experiences of the children is about as graphic as you would want to imagine, and there's no need to go into the detail of that horrific experience that they go through. But like Ms. Ferry said, the oftentimes the only opportunity that these children have to be alone is when they're in the restrooms, and being able to look at, get a phone number, get a short code to text could be could really save their lives. Also critical is to know that according to the Justice Research and Statistics Organization, approximately 31% of all human trafficking identification are made through tips. And so these stickers can not only be directly of service to the children, but also to others who are suspecting that someone is being trafficked if they see them and want to refer to the hotline. Do you have any questions?
So I had one. You had mentioned that it's very difficult for people to take a slip of paper. Mm-hmm. How would they take that information with them once they see the sticker in the bathroom?
Yeah. So they can text "Be Free," and so that's what they actually text the number. It's "Be Free," so it's really easy for them to memorize and, you know, say like "I need help" or whatever. Also, the number, it's really easy to remember. It's 888-373-7888. So okay. That's how they would do it.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yep. There are other questions?
Question. I'm very supportive of what you're doing. As I was back in 2010 when we passed the first bill, why do we need to pass a bill to do this? Did that bill have a sunset on it? I don't remember.
Yeah, they always sunset because it's through the renewal program. So after everyone will come up in the next 2 years for renewal, and we'll send out the stickers, and then the program will sunset. We are just revamping the program. The old stickers have a lot of words on them. This one's a lot cleaner, a little picture, a little more simpler, easier for the girls to identify with. Now the hotline actually has the texting, and so it's just moving with the technology and upgrading the stickers. And these ones specifically are meant for bathroom stalls, where the ones in the 2010 session were not. Mm-hmm. So.
And you had mentioned that there will be volunteer efforts. Will you let us know for those of us that might like to stuff envelopes?
Oh, yes, definitely. The more volunteers, the better. So,
great. Great. Thank you very much.
Senator Olson.
I'm an old guy. So help me on this texting stuff.
You take your cell phone.
Take your cell phone out, and you'd have to dial the phone number?
So you actually...
No, don't ask me.
No.
Go ahead.
So it's the "Be Free" is what you, that is the phone number.
It's, pardon me, yeah. It's referred to as a, you can either text by a full phone number, area code, and 7-digit number, or they have what they call short codes, mm-hmm. where you can text four digits, five digits, and be connected with or receive information regarding whatever issue it is that you're trying to text or gather information
on. I'm getting this. And my phone's buzzing. Somebody's calling.
So they can just text Be Free, and they'll reach somebody.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's through the national hotline.
Well, that's really cool.
And I know you were worried about the two thumbs, but you don't have to use two thumbs.
You can do it with them. And since they can remember Be Free, they don't have anything on them that would be indicative of the fact that they've picked up information that could make their pimp mad.
Yes. And I talked with Nita Bells, who does this program, or is helping with the program, and she's very familiar with the stickers. And so she uses a special sticker that's really hard for the pimps to scrape off. And she said that she heard from one victim that she got the phone number off of one of her stickers in a sleazy hotel room, and that the pimp sat there and tried to scrape it off, but it took him quite a while. And Nita said it was kind of comical to think about him doing it because of the adhesive that they use, that it is very hard for them to scrape off, and purposely so.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Is there anybody else that would like to be heard on this bill?
You did a very good job.
Thank you, sir. You did very good. So you should come back again. You're definitely a pro. So I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3143. Are we okay to work this one today?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3143A.
Chair Gelser, I move House Bill 3143A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson moves House Bill 3143A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? See none, so ordered. And I got a note that Senator Winters would like to carry this bill.
But it's Steiner Hayward's bill.
I got a note from Senator Steiner Hayward's office that Senator Winters wanted to carry the bill.
There are three chief sponsors, and Senator Winters is sponsoring.
And that'll be okay with Senator hopefully it'll be okay with Senator Mona Sanderson, but also okay with Senator Steiner Hayward. All right. Thank you very much. And I will close the work session on House Bill 3143A and open up a public hearing on House Bill 3187A.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3187A sets and clarifies terms of service for members of the Oregon Commission for the Blind, increases a single term of service to 4 years. This came out of House Committee 7-2 and off the House floor 56-6 with two excused. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Thank you very much. Art Stevenson, Randy Houth, and Carla McQuillan. I can say all those things. Welcome. And the microphones, one is directly in front of Mr. Stevenson and one is directly in front of Mr. Houth, or maybe a little to the right of Mr. Stevenson.
We'll be gentlemen and let the lady go first.
You lost.
Chair Gelser, members of the committee, my name is Carla McQuillan, and I am the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Oregon and a current member of the Oregon Commission for the Blind. This bill is pretty basic. Currently, the terms are limited to 2 years, and we right now have three members of the Commission Board who have been serving for less than a year, and in June, three of the seven would be leaving the board, making it a board of six brand new people and one who had been there for 2 years. In the blindness community, there's a very, very large learning curve in terms of the programs and services, and quite frankly, the responsibility of those of us who serve on the Commission for the Blind Board. And so this bill came up because of the fear that we would lose institutional knowledge, that the folks coming on would need so long to just get their feet wet and understand what the terms and conditions were with the blindness community and all of the programs provided by the Oregon Commission for the Blind, that it would detract from their ability to oversee the programs that they're responsible for. So this would increase the terms to 4 years, which is more consistent with most of the commissions and boards in the state. And so we would like to see this recommend it a do pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Gentlemen.
You're right.
Oops.
You're fine. So. We can pick up the thing.
We can get that later.
Yeah.
Chair Guestwood, Co-Chair Olson. My name is Art Stevenson. I'm the legislative coordinator of the American Council of the Blind. And I instigated this bill through my representative, Representative Comp. We did see a need to bring the commissioners at the Oregon Commission for the Blind in line with most commissioners, commission boards in the state to have four-year terms. We would appreciate you passing this bill. We had a little controversy over in the House and got rid of the emergency clause so that the new commissioners that would be going in this year would have to go through the vetting process. And so the American Council of the Blind and myself are quite happy with the existing bill without the emergency clause, and we would appreciate the Senate passing this bill like the House did. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Chair Gelser, members of the committee. My name is Randy Hout. I'm a lifelong blind Oregon resident. I've been a licensed blind vendor with the Commission for the Blind through the Business Enterprise Program for nearly 30 years. I also serve as co-chair of the Legislative Committee with the American Council for the Blind. And last but not least, something I'm very proud of, I'm the elected chair of Blind Employment Services of Tomorrow. I did provide you several days back written testimony and hope you were all able to review that. And I'm here today before you to provide testimony live and in person. And I will share with you that, in essence and in concept, certainly I support extending the terms of the commissioners that come before you and are vetted and go through the proper process. However, I have questioned through this process if this bill actually does enough, goes far enough to make a difference at the end of the day for people who are blind here in Oregon, and also for the Oregon Commission for the Blind, who has recently struggled greatly. So talking with some senators and representatives, both in the Senate and the House, I pose the question, what can we do? How can we make this stronger? Is there a way to, you know, with new Governor Kate Brown's mantra being credibility, transparency, and accountability, what could we do to ensure that these type of things would be more closely scrutinized? Is there a way to do that? And so I just pose that question to the committee as you consider this bill. Is there something we can do to make sure that the agency is doing the best it can do for the blind in Oregon? Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. Are there any questions for this panel? Seeing none, you've done an excellent job. Thank you very much. This is pretty straightforward. Colleagues, are you willing to work this one today?
Yep.
All right. So let's close the public hearing on House Bill 3187A. Open a work session on House Bill 3187A.
Chair Gelser, I move House Bill 3187A to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson moves House Bill 3187A to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? I just want to thank those that serve on our boards and commissions. Really do a tremendous service to the state and the communities that they represent. And I've heard from all of you on a variety of issues over the years, and I just really appreciate your advocacy and support and just the way that you work really hard to make sure that the needs and interests and rights of blind Oregonians are listened to and addressed in this building. So thank you all very much. All right, is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. This will head to the floor. And Senator Montes Anderson, would you be willing to carry this?
I'd love to.
Fantastic. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3187. As I mentioned before, we are carrying over the public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 3222A. I will flag for all of you, I'm not sure why we have that bill. It's a land use bill. So
you have two members of the Environment Committee here.
Excellent.
Chair, so I'm sure we can handle it.
We will lean heavily on you for that, but you might spend a little time looking at it before we get here and be aware it's kind of beyond our normal scope, and I carried over the work sessions on House Bill 2089A and 2890A. Does that hit everything on our agenda? All right. We do have relatively full agendas coming up. My goal has been to schedule things as we get them. I know that people start to get pulled in different directions, and I'm assuming people would rather have a couple of longish meetings than a whole series of extra days that we meet to just do a bill or two. Is that right?
We take what we're given, Madam Chair.
And we will do whatever you want.
Very good. Thank you all very much. And with that, we are adjourned. All very much. And with that, we are adjourned.